Welcome to the My Shamanic Life podcast, your exploration of spiritual ecology and the shamanic and spiritual practices that promote well-being for all beings. I'm your host, Debbie Phil, and I'm here to share insights and practices to get ready, get rooted, and get real about your health and the state of life on planet Earth. We'll explore the wisdom of deep ecology, look at some sad truths about the disappearing more than human world, feel into earth-based practices and teachings, and take action to help restore the wonder and magic of biodiversity to our world. I invite you to discover your passion and power, to unlock your inner wisdom, and to connect with our earth family as you map your own path to service. I am a white woman recording on the Adirondack hunting territory of the Mohawk Nation of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, ceded in 1797 without council approval. I acknowledge that my presence here is the ongoing legacy of settler colonialism, which includes the exclusion and erasure of many Indigenous peoples. I also acknowledge that this land I am on was once shared with species that have been eradicated by those settlers, including the Eastern Cougar, the Canadian Lynx, the Eastern Elk, the Passenger Pigeon, and the Gray Wolf. Settle in now, and wherever you are listening, notice how the earth is holding you. Become aware of what touches the ground, the floor, your chair, or whatever is supporting you. Sink a little deeper into that support and feel your energetic roots sink down into the earth. Feel how you are held, anchored in, nourished and nurtured. You are here. The time is now.
As we head deeper into the dark half of the year, and it's getting very dark here in the northern latitudes, I'm starting to prepare for the winter solstice and the celebration of Yule. I delight in rituals to mark the solstices, equinoxes, and cross-quarter days, and to be able to share those with you, virtually. In the show notes, you'll find the link for more information and registration for the Yule ceremony coming up on Thursday, December 21st, 2023 at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I've set up Zoom to show my altar so you can see it as if we were all sitting around it, to witness the symbolic return of the light in the ritual. You'll also journey, participate in group divination, and bless America's wolves, whose return wasn't welcomed by all. I hope you will join me as the wheel turns into the time of reflection. Sherry gave me some things to reflect on in her sharing in this episode when she spoke about the difference between being naturalized and being invasive. I'm a white human of European descent who was taught the myth of the origins of Thanksgiving that ignored the suffering of the Native Americans over the last 500 years. To those who are indigenous to this land, the white settlers must have seemed invasive, a detriment to the native species that existed, to an ecosystem that was balanced. The Eastern Wild Turkey, the North American native who became the iconic Thanksgiving bird and was even in the running to be the national bird of the United States, was actually so heavily hunted by white settlers that they were eradicated from New York State, where I live, in the late 1800s. Their reintroduction in the 1960s and 70s was a success, luckily. Ironically, the bald eagle, who won the national bird title, was almost wiped out by DDT during the time the turkeys were making a comeback. It's hard to look back at those and so many other stories and not feel invasive. In her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, Robin Wall Kimmerer writes about plantain, that low-growing plant with the big oval leaves that folks who still think lawns are a good idea are always trying to get rid of. Plantain came here with the European settlers, and even though it's everywhere, isn't invasive. It naturalized, and its medicinal properties and wildlife feeding seeds and leaves naturalized too. The herb Sherry is going to talk about did the same thing. I'm reflecting on how I, who wasn't born on the land I'm on now, who has moved around many times during my life, and who isn't many generations removed from my European ancestry, how I might do a better job of belonging to the land so I might feel less invasive and more naturalized. I think about that not just in the way I physically interact with the land, but spiritually as well. How can I pluck my Celtic roots out of Europe and tuck them into this soil? How can I reimagine my spiritual practices so they honor both where they came from and where I am now? But that's work for another day, because I need to welcome Sherry Curticle back to the podcast. If this is your first time hearing one of these episodes, Sherry is the CEO of Victim's Voice, an app she created to help victims of domestic violence safely and securely document abuse in a way that stands up in court. Sherry is also studying clinical herbalism with an emphasis on traditional Chinese medicine using Western herbs at the East-West School of Planetary Herbalism. She's an avid gardener, and she has a line of herbal products under the name Glitter Witch Gardens. She's also my dearest friend. Sherry, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about this podcast because, you know, we're coming up on the Thanksgiving holiday, and one of my favorite herbs to use around this time is sage. It's also kind of appropriate because, you know, when you think of wisdom, you think of older, you think of that kind of that next step. And this is the dark time of the year. We're, you know, getting closer and closer to that day. And it's just a good herb that is very savory. It kind of settle into yourself with this. And so, yes, sage. This week is sage. So as usual, I create a poem. So I'm going to start us off with the poem. Sage is wisdom. Sage is wise. Protecting your space with ancestral allies. Salvia officinalis is bitter and savory. Use leaf, root, and flower. They're really quite tasty. Sage lives in the house of the mint family. It grows in most gardens quite aggressively. White sage is quite sacred to Turtle Island natives, so use garden sage for smudge and magic creatives. Shenreg is quite helpful for all sorts of things, mental wellness, muscle tension, and most wound healing. Sage is quite worldly, coming from Northern Mediterranean, also Asia, Africa, Europe, and Central and South American. Full sun to partial shade in zones 04 through 10, so grow it yourself. It grows again and again. The bees and the butterflies, even some hummingbirds too, will love you for planting this herb, saying, thank you. So talking about sage, Salvia officinalis is commonly known as garden sage, or some people just call it common sage. It is a perennial. And actually, even though we call it an herb, it's an evergreen subshrub. It has woody stems. So if you let it grow for long periods of time, you'll notice that the main stalk that it comes up on actually has kind of a woody texture to it. The leaves, I love. They're furry and usually kind of a green, silver, grayish color. And if you let it go to flower, it has beautiful blue to purplish flowers. Under the right conditions, it will spread in your family like mint. So not quite as aggressively as mint. So it does really well in pots. It does well growing, and it does well to keep it contained if you grow it in a pot. It is a well-established medicinal and culinary herb and has been used throughout the centuries by many cultures all around the world. It generally blooms in early spring. So for the bees and the butterflies that come out during that early springtime, this is a fantastic plant for them. It kind of gives them that little boost that they need. If you do let it go to flower, you'll notice that the flowers themselves are somewhat camphor scented, and they can be bluish purple or also like a pink lavender color. I think the time of the year, like I mentioned before, when most people use sage is around that Thanksgiving dinner. And in our house, we chop up fresh sage and put it in our stuffing mix. But then I always save a couple of branches and tuck it up underneath the legs, in addition to sprinkling ground sage all over the bird. But it looks kind of nice, you know, when you have that big golden bird sitting on the table and those beautiful sage branches kind of tucked up under its legs. Then, you know, don't throw it away. You put those off to the side and throw those branches in the soup pot. So when you're boiling those bones off the carcass, make sure that you throw the sage in there for your soup. Yes, it's already been cooked down a little bit, and you'll want to add more fresh sage in your soup, but don't waste it. Don't throw it away. Make sure that any herbs that you don't use, you put in a compost pile or reuse them in soups. So some fun facts about sage is the genus name Salvia, which this is Salvia officinalis, derives from the Latin word salvio, which means salvation, to be in good health, to save or to heal. And centuries ago, people actually took sage to not only extend their life, but felt like it could make them immortal if they consumed sage. So sage was one of those, you know, long-term immortality wise herbs. Another thing is, you know, I think mice are really cute, but they're cute outside of my house, not eating cereal and rice and all kinds of things inside my house. Sage is a natural deterrent due to its strong odor to rats and mice. So rodents don't like sage. So if you tend to have rodent problems and you kind of know where they're coming in, definitely close off those holes, but plant sage around that area. It will deter them from coming into your home. Sage was used in the Roman era as part of sacred ceremonies because the people believed that it was able to bring prosperity and longevity. And sage was one of the ingredients in the famous Four Thieves vinegar. So the story about the Four Thieves vinegar was that there were four thieves that during the time of the Black Plague were stealing valuables from the corpses of people that had died from the Black Plague, yet they weren't getting it. And no one understood why they weren't getting it. So they were finally caught. And when they were caught, they bargained their freedom for the recipe of the Four Thieves vinegar. And that vinegar mix, which has a whole lot of herbs, including sage, some of those herbs were herbs that actually warded off the virus, But it also, the sage warded off the fleas that were causing the Black Plague to begin with. So like I said, the rodents didn't like it. The fleas didn't like it. So it was literally warding off what was causing that plague. So it was very clever of them to use that. And sage is also, because it's antimicrobial, really good for oral health. So if you find yourself having a lot of bacteria in your mouth, especially, you know, we're getting ready to kind of overconsume. So grind up some sage and add it to your toothpaste and just brush your teeth with it. And it will really ward off, or make a mouthwash out of it. And, you know, make a really strong tea, grinding up the leaves and steeping it overnight and then using it as like a mouthwash. It's also a really good digestive. So, and helps with sore throats. So sage tea is just the thing, especially combined with a bit of lemon and honey, to ward off some of those sore throats and some of those that come with like dry air. And we've got a lot of that right now, right? Everybody's got their heaters on. It's taking all the moisture out. I do have a recipe for a really great sage lemon honey tea on my website. So I'm sure Debbie, you'll post that in the show notes and they can use that recipe. It's very quick and easy to make. Now, sage is what's known as an aromatic herb. It means it has a lot of oils in it and a very strong odor. We talked about, you know, some of the benefits of that odor, but aromatic herbs are also, the aromacy of them can also be very medicinal. But when you're harvesting and drying aromatic herbs, you need to slow the process down. So some things that you'll harvest, you want to put them in a dehydrator, crank up the heat a little bit, and get it done. Not sage. Sage, rosemary, lavender, herbs like that, you want to slow it way down. So rather than putting them in a dehydrator, just cut the branches and tie them up together in small bunches so that there's enough room for air circulation, and then hang them up in a room and let them air dry. It will take 1 to 2 weeks, but when you hang them upside down, then all those aromatic oils rest into the leaves and it takes its time so they don't all evaporate out. And that's what you want. You want a nice, strong, aromatic, dry leaf. So when you are harvesting, it's really important that you, if you're going to grow the sage, great, harvest, you know, what you want, but leave some plant behind. Let some plant go to flower and then go to seed so that it can reseed itself the next year and continue on. If you harvest it all back, you will risk losing the plant. If you are foraging, first of all, make sure you're foraging from a place where you are getting permission to do so. And make sure that you're only taking like no more than a third of the plant that's out there. So if you have a big field, don't take more than a third of it, and never take the first plant that you come across. That's just kind of a good foraging rule. Sage is not on the endangered list. However, white sage is being protected because most of the white sage that you see, especially in smudging bundles, has been poached, illegally poached. And most of it has been poached from native indigenous lands. So do yourself a favor. Unless you are growing white sage, don't buy white sage. Don't buy it from the stores. Don't buy it online. If you know a farm that is growing it, or you know somewhere where it is being sustainably grown and you're able to verify that that white sage comes from that place, then yes. But otherwise, don't. It's no more magical or medicinal than garden sage. And you can grow garden sage throughout the United States. So I beg you, don't use white sage. most of, you know, we talk about native ecology. Sage is not native to the United States. It's native to Mediterranean areas and Eastern Asian countries. However, it has been naturalized in the U.S. And the difference is, while it didn't start here, it grows here, but it doesn't take over its environment. So when you grow white sage, if you grow garden sage, and it happens to plant itself into a field or something, it's not going to take over the native vegetation. So therefore, that's when we call it a naturalized and non-invasive species. If you see it growing out in a field, that will be a field that you can generally guarantee that you won't see a lot of rats and mice in. So you don't have to worry about, you know, their droppings all over plants and such, because they really don't like it at all. As a medicinal, the Chinese medicine actions are it disperses cold. So obviously it's a warming herb. It clears heat and clears damp, and it disperses wind and resolves phlegm. So what that means is, if you have that kind of cold that has the really wet, sticky phlegm, and when you cough stuff up, it comes up as yellow and thick and maybe even green, that's what we call not only phlegm, but the dampness and the heat. So heat just usually denotes some kind of infection. Dampness just means, you know, it's getting that gooey infection in there. Phlegm in Chinese medicine doesn't mean just the stuff that you cough up or sneeze out, but it's mucosal membranes that start to thicken up. And so what you want to do is you want to make sure that you're clearing that up and you're getting everything out. And oftentimes that happens because the inside of your body gets cold. So think about like fat. So when you have fat in a soup, when it gets cold, it starts to congeal. And that's what phlegm is. It's just that congealing in your body. From a Western herbalism perspective, it is anti-inflammatory. It is an antiseptic. That's why they use it for oral health. It's a carminative, a diaphoretic, a digestive, an expectorant, but it's also a nervine. So that calming tea, when you talk about an expectorant and a nervine, not only does it calm those coughs, or help to get that cough settled down, but it calms the coughing action. So the nervine tends to settle everything down. I mentioned that it grows from zones 4 to 10, which is pretty much across the United States. So there's not too many places where you're not going to be able to grow garden sage. And for heaven's sake, if you happen to be in a space where it doesn't grow really well outside, grow it in a pot, bring it inside, put it in a sunny window. It does like a lot of sun. So make sure you put it in that nice, warm, sunny window. Make sure you give it enough water, but, you know, well-drained soil. You don't want it to have soggy feet. And so that's kind of from the, you know, practical perspective. But then when we talk about things like white sage, then we're getting more into the materia magica. So what are some of the spiritual uses of sage? Well, the word itself means wisdom, right? When we think about sage, we think about outside of the plant, we think about someone who's wise. And the tarot deck that I use most often is the herbal tarot. And it just happens that the high priest is associated with sage. And the high priest represents our own inner teacher. After we have come to the end of our reasoning process, we must jump into the realm of inner guidance. And that's where the high priest comes in. you know, that inner wisdom from all that knowledge that we've gained over the years. When we think of the word sage, we also think of the word crone. And back in the day, older women were revered for their wisdom, their years of experience. They were looked upon as the wise woman in the group. And I think Jen mentioned this in her podcast that, you know, when you look in magazines, all you see are young women who look unrealistic, you know, body sizes that we'll never attain to, most of us, and at least not healthily so. And so when I think of the sage, the crone, I think of someone who is settled into her own, who has nice, soft places, and all those soft places in her body tell a story and tell all that wisdom that she holds. So sage is used to foster wisdom for healing and money spells, for protection, and especially for energy cleansing. I just recently made my own broom and am weaving pieces of sage into the broom because I don't need to use it necessarily to smudge. I can use it in my broom. And then every time I sweep, I'm sweeping both, you know, from a literal perspective, but also from a spiritual perspective as well. A lot of times sage is used in court case spells to encourage wisdom. So whenever we're going to court, and I know a lot of people that I deal with in my own business are getting ready to face court cases. And it takes a lot of wisdom to be able to hold your tongue and be able to make wise decisions when you're going to be faced with things that are very stressful. You can include some garden sage in your money sachets for prosperity. And place it on your home altar for mental clarity. Place it on your work altar for mental clarity. I think we could all use a little mental clarity from time to time. And here's a little insight that I found kind of interesting. Get someone else to plant the sage in your yard to avoid bad luck. Don't do it yourself. So I thought, wow, well, that's interesting. So I'll be inviting friends over to help me plant more sage around my house. And there's a medieval legend that says, whoever cultivates sage in his garden will have no reason to die. And that goes back to that longevity. There are so many different species of sage, but just a few. Garden sage is used in kitchen witchery, smudging, and cleansing. Add it to your broom, like I said, to boost its spirit cleansing properties. Desert sage is used for smudging ceremonies. Blue sage is known for its calming and relaxing properties. Clary sage has a more musky scent and is used for its therapeutic and aphrodisiac properties. So when you're trapped in the home and you can't go outside, there you go, use some clary sage. Spanish sage is used for spiritual and healing purposes, given that it has such a strong aroma. So it's aligned with Jupiter, and I'm going to tell a little story in a minute that talks a little bit about that. Also, its constellation is Taurus, and it is an air element. Think about, you know, where it's often used and thought of in smudging sticks. So that lends itself to the air element. The corresponding chakra is the throat chakra. And I found several deities that are actually connected to sage. So the Welsh deity is Rhiannon. And when we hear Rhiannon, we think of, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the band now. It'll come back to me.
Fleetwood Mac.
Say again?
Fleetwood Mac.
Yes, thank you. I could see her in my mind, but Fleetwood Mac, yes, they wrote a song called Rhiannon. It was based on the deity loosely and made very famous. The Roman god Jupiter, the Greek god Zeus, and the Egyptian god Thoth. In the major arcana, Again, it is associated with the high priest in the herbal tarot. So when I went looking up sage and some stories, I found a very interesting story that I wanted to share. It talks about, and, you know, coming from northern, very northern kind of deities and such. This story was about Thor, and he was visiting Loki in his castle. And Loki had Skrymir, which were the strongest and most cunning of these giants, in his mighty castle. So they kind of protected Loki. And Loki was the trickster. Remember this. So Thor comes into the castle and says, I'm going to wrestle with all your giants because, you know, I'm the strongest, I'm the greatest god out there, and I can beat any of them. So Loki, being the trickster, challenged Thor to wrestle with the old giantess, Elli, rather than the strong men of Loki's bodyguard. So Elli seemed to be the weakest of the nurses of the Utgard, which was his castle. And Thor believed it was an easy match to defeat her, so he accepted the challenge. Thor struggled long and hard to beat her, but surprisingly, the older woman stood fast. Thor, the brave god who could fight many giants, was almost defeated. Finally, she held him to drive him to the ground, and Thor fell to one knee. Then suddenly, Loki ended the match and explained how meaningless it was to fight further for his people. The following day, Thor left the castle, but before Thor's departure, Loki accompanied him along his way and asked what he thought of the visit to the castle. Thor was humiliated because of the contest. In response, Loki said that he had deceived him in the competition. In the wrestling, you contested with old age, who defeats everyone despite their strength. So I thought that was a very wise tale, that you can fight the aging process, but you will never win. It will be ugly if you try. So thank you so much again for having me and being able to talk about sage.
Thank you again for being here. And I loved hearing about sage. And as someone who attempts to garden in zone 4, I will confirm that sage is one of those things that does grow. It's really easy for me to grow. It comes back every year. And I really appreciate my sage plant, my garden sage. And I, you know, I have seen the bees on the flowers in the springtime, and I'm glad you brought that up because it's a reminder for me to let that go to flower too before I start harvesting anything.
I would encourage people, if you're going to grow sage, grow kind of two batches. One of them, let most of it go to flower and go to seed. But the other, continue to pinch back the flowers because the plant will get fuller and you'll have more to harvest, and you can harvest it throughout the year. I'm getting ready to harvest my sage that I've been pinching off. And it's, you know, almost December, and I still have it growing outside, and I have it growing in a window box outside. So do grow two batches and continue to pinch off one. But yeah, exactly. Leave some for the fauna outside.
Well, I am so glad you were here, and this won't come out until after Thanksgiving, but I hope that you have an amazing Thanksgiving, and everybody listening had an amazing Thanksgiving, and I look forward to you joining me again next month.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of My Shamanic Life. Check the show notes for the links I mentioned this week. And remember to like and subscribe to get weekly episodes in your feed with more practices, teachings, and actions so you can get ready, get rooted, and get real about life on this planet. May you find wonder and magic in the beings around you this week, and practice walking gently on our earth each and every day.